God, this is Sunday morning, December the 26th, and we're turning to Joshua 1:8. So to make the best of your time on this planet and to get something good out of you and to be prosperous, which is the opposite of being not being prosperous, Joshua 1:8 gives you an absolute. God is a God of absolutes. God is a God of order. God is a God that put this universe in place. God is a God that created laws. There are laws that are in place, and they're there for a reason. Laws are created by God, and they are absolutes. The law of gravity is the best one to think about. If you pick something up, I don't have any doubt whatsoever that if I pick up this pencil and I drop it, there's a law in place, and that law says if I drop this pen right now, I didn't even have to think. I wonder if that'll work. I didn't even have to think. Do you think if I drop that pen, maybe it won't fall? I don't have to think about that because I understand and I have experienced this law firsthand for myself. I've fallen off of things. Yeah, it works. There's a law. So, and that's one thing we learn in school, that there are laws. This is a law right here I'm getting ready to tell you about. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." This is the law of prosperity. Just as sure as there is a law of gravity, there is a law of prosperity. To me, the major key that will open the door to prosperity in our lives. Joshua 1:8, I'm going to break this down because it's so powerful. If I could draw a picture of a person, in fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to draw a picture. Here's a person. Here's a person. I'm going to get an illustration here, not a very good one. But here's something called a heart inside this person. And here's a head. And then here's eyes, and here's a nose, and here's a mouth. And you got hands, you got feet. That's a person. This represents the human race. And this will work for anybody. If anyone will do this, it will work. If he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth," how does it get in your mouth? How does somebody put the book of the law in their mouth? It's got to come out of them. It's got to come out of their... Did you know language in the frontal lobes here is where language is? Language, something I'm saying, comes out of my mouth because I'm thinking it in my head. Okay, I'm thinking something and I'm thinking, okay, a thought comes, and usually you got to have a thought, you got to see a picture, and then you begin to say it. And he said, God said, if you can say it out of your mouth, he said, in this book of the law, now we're talking about the law of prosperity. How do we prosper? It starts way before the mouth. It starts even way before that comes out the mouth, because it's got to be in the mind and in the heart before it comes out of the mouth. Jesus said, nothing that enters into a man can defile the man. It's what comes out of the mouth or out of the man that defiles the man. That's a law too. That's a fact. And he also said, out of the good treasures, a good man brings forth good things, but out of an evil treasure, an evil man brings forth evil things. And it works both ways. Your mouth is the key to prosperity. It really is the key. But look how it works. When you begin to realize, this is like a fine-tuned engine. You can make this into think about the best car you've ever driven. The pistons are all hitting perfectly. You know when you hit that key, it's going to start. There's not going to be any problems, no mechanical problems. This car runs, and it runs extremely well, efficiently. God wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. But we are a triune being. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. Let's do spirit, soul, and body. If we don't understand that we are three separate entities. Absolutely. Three separate beings. The spirit, the soul, and the body. You know the problem with most people? They have never educated their human spirit. Never educated their human spirit to the things of God. So all they have, because they're not been born again of the spirit, they can't possibly know the things of the spirit. The scripture says, what knoweth a man but the things that are in a man? Even so, no man knoweth the things of the spirit unless the spirit of God be in him, or he has a partaker of the spirit. It's like, I can't possibly read your mind, but if you start talking to me, I can start understanding, because we're both human beings. We're the same class of people. Even so, the things of the spirit, because it's not of the body, it's not of mankind, it's of spirit kind. Prosperity is being rich in spirit, rich in soul, and rich in body. Everyone comes out on the same ground. If they will learn to do Joshua 1:8, Joshua 1:8 will change your life if you understand what he's talking about. And when he makes the statement, God said this, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Your mouth is connected to all three areas of you. Your mouth is connected to your spirit, your soul, and your body. Is affected with your mouth. That's the part of us that expresses what's in us. And he said that you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. Now observe there has to do with eyesight. You can't observe something if you can't see it. If you can't see something, how are you going to observe it? You tell me to go out there and observe something, and you go out there and it's really saying, go look at that. I want you to really look that over. I want you to observe it. I want you to look. Like if I sit here and observe this mirror, and I begin to observe, this mirror has got all these different designs, and I can almost make a mental picture of that mirror, and I could make a mental snapshot in my mind by looking at it long enough, I would have that image implanted in my mind. I promise you can do it too, because you're a human being. God put it in us to be able to have an imprint of things. If we look at it long enough and study it hard enough and we observe it and look at it, it can literally become ingrained inside of us. It gets into the spirit of you. Once it gets into your spirit, then you've crossed into a whole different arena, a whole different level of your being that most people never are able ever to walk through and walk into. Most people walk around soul people. I mean, most people walk around very soulish. They're very soulish. In fact, there's been motivational speakers who speak about this all the time. I've gone to many different ones and listened to many different tapes. Motivational speakers will talk about how important it is, what you read, what you think about, what you look at affects you. It really does. But old Abraham, look at the stars and see if you can count them. Look at the sand and see if you can count that. And he began to observe that in his mind, and he began to look at those stars, and he began to meditate on that, and he began to, and because God told him, that's what your seed will be like. When he was childless, and his wife was barren and had been barren her whole life, and she's an old woman now and he's an old man. So this meditation is a powerful thing that God put in every single person. Everybody can do this, but very few people ever discover this. Very few people ever dare to enter this and do this and do it consistently, because he said, if you will meditate. Now the bottom line is making your way prosperous, having good success. Having a prosperous life. Success is not just having plenty of money in the bank account. I can't tell you how important it is to observe the right things and to meditate on the right things. And he says, well, this book of the law, it shall not depart out of your mouth. You know how you can tell what people are really meditating on? Listen to what they're talking. Listen to what they say, especially in a crisis. Especially, you can find exactly where, it's like your spiritual temperature. What do they say in a crisis? What do they say when everything looks horrible? What do they say? What's in their mouth when everything is the biggest mess in the world? If you can hear their mouth talk the word, you know their heart's been meditating in something powerful beyond this world, beyond this universe. It's incredible what the mouth can produce, but it's a key to prosperity. And God said, if you can learn to speak my word, if you can learn to say to that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say, there's the mouth. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Because whatever you say, you can have. If you will say it from your heart. This is the law of prosperity. And I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside of the one who meditates therein day and night. And you know, being able to control your thought life, you know how hard it is to control your thought life? It is not an easy task. But if you observe, if you can sit and observe and do. See, I heard Glory Copeland years ago say, it's the word that you observe and it's the word that you do that gets inside of you. And it's the observing is, you can observe the word, you can hear the word, but if you're not a doer of the word, you're like a man who's looking in a mirror and you behold how you're supposed to look and then you walk away and forget what you look like. That's exactly what it's talking about in the book of James. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And this man shall be blessed in his deeds. This is where you're blessed. The blessing comes, just like this is a law of gravity, this is a law of prosperity. That law works. I don't have to think about, is that going to work? I know this works. I know this is an absolute key. This is a law. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Now, the key word here, I'm going to underline this in my Bible. The word, one little word, A-L-L. A-L-L. God says you're going to observe and you're going to do according to some of it, what I decide to do, or I'm going to observe and do just kind of what I feel like. No, it says you have to do this if you want to be prosperous and you want to have good things. You've got to do it all. You got to do it all. It's not just a pick and choose. I think this feels better than that feels. I don't like that. That can't be right. I'm not always questioning God. I just know the key is my job, my part, if I want things to work, is I've got to be the one that keeps it in my mouth. And the only way to keep it in your mouth, the only way to keep the word of God in your mouth is do what it says next. Meditate therein day and night. Day and night. It's like a rocking chair. Day and night. Day and night shall not cease. God says, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, day and night. It'll not go away. And I'm a part of this universe. I'm a part of all of this. And I've got to observe and do according to all that is written therein. You know, this is, you want to change your life? This will change your life. Anybody's life can change. You observe to do. And as you observe to do, it's amazing how it gets written. It gets in your heart as you observe to do. Now, you can study the Bible, know the Bible, quote the Bible, but it's something about observing and doing it and keeping it in your mouth and meditating in it day and night. It's powerful. You set yourself up for success. You set your own self up to be prosperous. And I don't mean just financially prosperous. That happens. That happens, absolutely. But I'm talking about peace of mind, being able to go. Do you know how many people have to take a drug to sleep at night? Do you know how many people have to have something to drink to go to sleep? Do you know how many people have to even, just to have a sane moment, has to have a drug? Do you know how many people just do not know what peace is? They don't know what joy is. They don't know what comfort is. They don't know what the glory of God is. They don't understand any of these things without help from something man-made. Always looking to be happy. I got to get something here. I got to do this. I mean, really, it's all right here in this one verse. You know, God's amazing God. He's a powerful God. He's a great God. And he has the key to anything you need. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Do not ever let this word depart out of your mouth. Because if you start talking outside of the word, you've departed from it. Every time you ever say anything outside of the word, you've just departed from it. You just departed from it. You just departed from it. You're not observing and you're not doing, because your mouth will always be your compass. It will be your guide. because you will believe what you say over anything else or what anybody else says, or I don't care if a doctor comes along and tells you something. If you don't believe it, you got it already in your mouth and you're already believing what you say. You believe your words over everybody. And that's why it's so important to make God's word number one in your life. God's word in your mouth will guide you. Now, I want to take you someplace else. It's in Hebrews 8, starting with verse 9. I said, God, I cannot understand all of this revelation and knowledge and all the word. I just can't do it alone. And he said, this is another important thing you need to understand. Remember the scripture that says, by wisdom is a house built, by understanding it's established, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all pleasant and precious riches. Now, I like the riches part, and I like the chambers being filled with good and precious riches, but until we get the house built, there's not going to be a place to put those riches and precious good things. We got to get the house built. We got to get the house established. We got to get an address for it. We got to get a shingle on it. We got to get a roof on it. We've got to get a house established. Yeah, that's a house over there. It's not just an empty bunch of walls. There's a house there. And now we can put something in it. And this is what he said. He said, this is what I'll do. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now don't be there. Don't ever go there. You know, when you start not observing and not doing, that's what happened. God won't regard you. And there's a scripture that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't even hear me. David said that. If I regard iniquity in my heart. And that's why he says in Hebrews, he said, lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset you, and run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So this thing he said, I will do this. This is the covenant. This is something I've learned about the Lord, is that God is a covenant. This is so exciting to me, because he's a covenant-keeping God to 1,000 generations. He cannot break covenant. That means God cannot break a covenant. Once God cuts a covenant, it's done. It's there forever. And see, Jesus literally cut a covenant with God on yours and my behalf. The human race has a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The covenant was cut with the precious blood of his Son. And it's established before him forever. So this is the covenant that he cut with the Lord Jesus through his Son's sacrifice. He said, I promise you, I cut a covenant with you, for you, for you. I didn't have to cut the covenant. Jesus cut the covenant so I could enter into this precious promise. He said, I will put my law in your mind, and I will write them in your heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is a law. This is a fact. The covenant's been cut. Thank you, Jesus. I thank him all the time. Thank you, Lord, Father, God. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being willing to die. Thank you that you cut this covenant for me. It's personal. It's just my covenant. I take it and I said, thank you, God, this is mine. And I'm not going to walk away, but I'm going to meditate therein day and night. I'm going to observe and I'm going to do. And you said, I will write my law in your mind. I will write it in your heart. Remember, you're a triune being. You're a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in an earth suit. You live in a body. This body is just going to, one day worms are going to eat your skin. Let's look at facts here. One day your eyeballs are going to shrink and dry up and be nothing but just a socket with bone. I mean, think about it. We literally are just walking around in fleshly clothes. Thank God I am, because, you know, devils hate us because we have an earth suit and we can physically express ourselves in this physical realm and they can't. They got to borrow a body to express their feelings. We can be expressive without having to borrow somebody's body. That's what demon possession is all about. But this is the covenant I will make. And he already did it through Christ, the anointed one. And so we have a provision made. Okay, now, God, you're writing your word in my heart. How fast can you do it? How fast can you write this word? How fast can you write in my heart? How fast can you write this in my mind? It's based on Joshua 1:8. Well, see, we are not computerized robots. We have our part to do. We're the ones who literally opened the door for this to operate. It's when you meditate therein day and night. You keep it in your mouth. You observe to do. You meditate therein day and night. How do you meditate day and night? Can I run around with a Bible in front of me every day, reading? No. And you aren't supposed to. You can't. Because you're supposed to. Jesus said, occupy till I come. We occupy. He's given us jobs. We've all been created to do something. We all have our purposes in life. We are to help humanity. And the more of the word you know, the more prosperous and more successful you'll be in whatever your job is in humanity. I don't care if you're a carpenter. I don't care if you're a plumber. Jesus was raised as a carpenter. But I bet he made the most beautiful furniture. And I'm sure he was meditating therein day and night, the word of God. Think what it did for his business. Think about the business he must have had. I don't believe Jesus was a poor Jesus when he took off in his ministry. I believe he was able to have, I think he had all that he needed to fund his business. And the ministry, think about the people that followed him. He was prosperous and he had good success. But it begins with understanding that God has already made a covenant that he will absolutely do this. And you are the one who opens the door for it to happen. By this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night and observe to do all that is written according therein. Something else here. It goes right along with this. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's an awesome revelation right there. Because if you've got condemnation, if you're feeling like you're just the dirt of the earth, you're just the worm under a rock, you're just the worst, and maybe you are. Maybe you really, really are a really bad person. Something the Apostle Paul was too. The Apostle Paul was a really big mess. He was a Pharisee. He was full of pride. He was arrogant. He was just, you know, all about his goals, his plans. What he thought was right. He murdered Christians. He took babies away from their mother's arms and put the mothers in prison. Killed them. He was a bad, bad character until he had a revelation of who Jesus really is. And this is what it is about Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, the anointed one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, now, if that's true, if there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ and you're born again and you're in Christ, how come I feel so guilty all the time? How come I feel like I'm just such a worm? Because you're still not walking after the Spirit. You're still walking after the flesh. Because, see, Christians can do that. You can be a believer and you can be born again and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost even. Pray in tongues in the whole nine yards. I've even had gifts operating in me and still have to deal with this thing called condemnation. Condemnation hinders us from believing God, flowing in the things of God, and walking in the peace and having prosperity. Condemnation will absolutely cut off your relationship with God. Condemnation will hinder your walk with God. You don't want that. This is a no-no. We do not want condemnation in our life. But the Bible says, there's no condemnation now. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Well, then how come I still got it? I've allowed the Lord to write his word in my heart and in my mind. What is the thing with this condemnation? Let me show you. It's the ones who walk not after the flesh. They're walking after the Spirit. Well, I think I'm doing that. Are you? If you are, then you don't have any condemnation. Because it's very black and white, very clear here. If you're walking after the Spirit, you're not going to have any condemnation. Period. There's no room there for argument. Because it's very black and white. And let me show you the law that's working here. Because we're talking about absolutes. We're talking about laws that will not change. I don't care if you want it to change. You're not going to change the law of gravity. I don't care how hard you don't want it to work. It will always work. Because God put this in place. This is what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is a law. There's a law called the law of the spirit of life in, the word in is a powerful word, Christ Jesus. That law has made me free from another law. So now we see two laws. There's the law of the spirit of life, and there's the law of sin and death. Doesn't sound like a good law to be living under, does it? Doesn't sound like a good thing to be living up to, the law of sin and death, or trying to measure up to a law. But it's still a law. That law of sin and death is just as real as the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me say it correctly. Because the law of sin and death absolutely is a law that always works. I don't want to live in that law. I don't want to live under that law. That's not going to cover me anymore. And how do you live in that law? Well, it just told you in verse 1. People who are walking after the flesh are still under the law of sin and death. It's not that hard to get that. If you're living in the flesh and walking after your flesh, you're living under a law called the law of sin and death. How clear can that get? You know, you cannot put your toe in the ocean and say, I'm in the ocean. Because you're not in the ocean, your toe's in the ocean. Or you can't put your hand in the bathtub and say, I'm in the bathtub. You're not in the bathtub, your hand's in the bathtub. You know, you've got to get in the law of the spirit of life. And we swim in it. We live in it. It's a part of our lives. It is something we live in. We just made this statement. He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So it's the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And it's not just about money, even though money is a part of it. It's all of the things that come with it. But let's go on and look at this again. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. That is another part of it. So you know you've been made free. It's one thing to be set free, but to be made free. Until you get the revelation, you're made free. I'm made free. I'm not trying to get free. I'm made free. That tree, this thing right here was made out of wood. It's not trying to be made out of wood. It is wood. See, I am free. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. I am free. And so this freedom from being under that law of sin and death is you're also free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ Jesus, the anointed. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you know, this is, think about it this way. I'm after something. Most all of us are after something. We have a goal set in front of us. I want to achieve this. I see it. That's the way you achieve things. That's the way God put it in us, that we set a goal. We see it it's in our sights. We're not there yet. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a pharmacist or whatever it is you want to be. You're not there yet, but it's something you're going to go after. You're going to go after this, and I'm going to have it. By golly, I'm going to have it. I've learned something about my nature. If I really want something and I know God's okay with it, I can have it. If I know I can get God's stamp of approval on whatever it is I want, I'm going to have it. I may not have it yet, but I go after it. I've learned how to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God will give you whatever you can believe for. That's why Jesus was able so boldly to say to those disciples, you think that's something that I cursed the fig tree? You see that mountain over there? If you can say to that mountain, and you don't have any doubt in your heart, you will see that mountain move. You tell it to do whatever you want it to do. I was meditating on something coming home the other day, and the scripture kept meditating on it. See, when I talk about meditating, I begin to think on it, and I begin to think on it, and I always keep a word in my mind. It just like kind of helps put the dig the roots a little deeper, dig down a little more. I need some good anchored roots. And I'm meditating on this scripture. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now I pay attention to thus saith the Lord message, words, scriptures. And I want to meditate in thus saith the Lord, because that's what he said. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. So for all the way home, 26 minutes, I'm meditating on that one verse. And I'm meditating, and see, and I'll tell you what happens when you start meditating on one verse. It becomes clear. You're observing it. You're looking at it. You're seeing the details in it. You're starting to think it out and reason it out in your thinker. You got a thinker. You control what you think, and you control what you observe, and you control what you look at. So you've got an eye that's in here, a mind that can see things. And I began to meditate on that verse. I needed that verse. Holy Spirit brought it up to me, and I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll meditate on that. He gave me another one to meditate. Line up on line, precept on precept. And I trust him to do that, because you know what he promised me? It's promised that he said that he would show me things to come. He said, I'm sending you a comforter, and he will be with you. You don't have to worry about being alone. I'm not here alone. And he said, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, for he's the Spirit of truth. And he said, the world won't know him, but you'll know him. You'll know him because he's in you, and he's with you. I've learned to lean on the Holy Spirit, and I've learned to trust him, because I know he's in me. He's in my heart. Now, there's something else I want to show you here. Verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Most people are taught, and I've been taught this for years, that you're not walking after the flesh, but you're walking after the Holy Spirit. A lot of people meditate on this verse, and they see themselves walking after the Holy Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit in them, and they're walking after, okay, the Holy Spirit says go there, and you go there. Holy Spirit says go do this, and you go do this. Holy Spirit says whatever, and you do it. That is not what this is talking about. That is not what this is saying at all. It's talking about your human spirit. You are your own guide. God did not, he said he would be your comforter. He would lead you and guide you through his word. We're not led and guided. We're not a puppy on the end of a string being led around. Your human spirit is to be your guide. Your human spirit is to be so full of his word, meditating on it, that your human spirit, you follow after your own human spirit. My flesh is my flesh. My flesh is my flesh. It has a voice. My flesh will tell me when it's hungry. My flesh will tell me when it wants something. My flesh will have all kinds of things go on in it. My flesh will, I'm telling you, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and it'll give you a list of them. I can show you a list of them in Galatians. This is the works of the flesh. The flesh has a voice. The flesh has works. Here, let's just look at it. Because I want you to see that there is definitely a powerful revelation right here in this one verse about no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it's your human spirit you are to walk after. When you start walking after your human spirit, there won't be any condemnation. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. There's that freedom. You've been called to this kind of liberty. But use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For by all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know, let me say this while I'm thinking about it. I have looked at that verse and looked at that verse and meditated on that verse and observed that verse, and I thought, you know, God, that's a tall order to tell me to love my neighbor as I love myself. Because I don't love myself too much. How do I get to where I love myself? Because if you don't love yourself, and it's the degree that you love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor? So he's basically saying, you got to love yourself. You love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor either. So it's like, here's a little glass. Okay, here's how much I love me. That's how much I'm going to love everybody else. But if I really love me and I see my value and I see my potential, I will see everybody else the same way too. And you will treat people a different way. It's just the way it works. So he says, but if you bite and devour each other, one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that what we just read? The law of the sin and death. The law of sin and death. You're not under that anymore. If you are led by the Spirit. And I want you to see your human spirit. Your human spirit is a real part of you. It's the most important part of you. It's the part that's going to give you freedom. It's the part that gives us freedom from the law of sin and death. The human spirit. But see, we've been living after the flesh, and it's like it dies a hard death. It kicks and screams all the way to the funeral home. You can stab it, choke it, and it don't want to die. It just doesn't want to die, does it? But he says, if you walk in the Spirit, see, now it's talking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in your human spirit. You learn to operate out of your human spirit. In, out, with, of. It's all your human spirit. Because there's where the Holy Spirit. He didn't come to make you a robot. He came to be your guide, your comforter, your paraclete. The one that was sent to go along beside you. You are still in control. He will never take you over. Your human spirit has got to be in control of you. Paul said, I keep my body under. I is the real Paul. His spirit man was stronger than his flesh. His spirit man was the part that rose up and took control. Now, how do you do that? Through meditating therein day and night and observing. What are you observing? You finally start observing out of your human spirit. You begin to think out of your human spirit has a mind. I was lifted out of my body once. In fact, walking through my living room one day, and my spirit man was literally taken up out of me, and I'm standing on my shoulders, looking out. I'm looking down. I see my body. I see my feet way down. Just imagine me being on my shoulders, standing, looking down and seeing my top of my head and my body and my feet on the ground and seeing my living room all around me. That sounds wild and freaky, doesn't it? But it was a revelation that God gave me of how real your human spirit really is. That's the part that's going to live forever. This flesh, you will lay this down. It'll be in one of these days, it'll be in a casket. Everybody be looking at that old flesh. But you will live forever. Your spirit man, and what you take to heaven will be basically what you've observed and done in this life through this flesh. And your mouth is a big, 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 big part of it. Something to think about. Here I am standing on my shoulders, and all of a sudden I look up above me and I see this absolute, the blackest black I've ever seen in space. I knew it was like outer space, and I could see nothing but black. And I knew it was space that went way, way, way and no end, like no end. There was no walls. And way off to the right came a fiery dart, and it started very small. And as it got closer, it was rippling through this space. And as it got closer and closer to me, I looked at it, and it looked like the shape of a point. And it was white hot on the end. And it was like orange, but it was white hot. And remember Star Wars, how when they shot those guns and it showed that light running through space? This fiery dart was rippling through the space, and it was rapidly coming. And I knew that this was one of those fiery darts. Now, to make this interesting, we have an enemy who literally throws fiery darts at us. And you do not want to be hit by one. I've been hit by a few. You know what it makes you want to do? It makes you want to die. It makes you want to become a puddle in the floor. It gives you, it will absolutely, it's like being shot with an arrow in the flesh would do. Same result. It brings bleeding. It brings hurt. It brings destruction. Spiritual thing. So your heart can be attacked. Your body can be attacked with these fiery darts. They affect every, because you cannot separate, even though you are three entities, you cannot separate your body from your spirit. Not until you die. There's no separation right now. So the best that we can do is to observe therein day and night so that we can allow God's word to be written in our heart and in our minds. Look at, let's stay here for a moment because I want to go ahead and read a few more things here. Verse 16 again says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, walk in your human spirit, walk in," if I could write it again, I believe I would have made it clear. Walk in the spiritual realm of things. Walk in your spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because your flesh has a voice and has lust. For the lust, then he explains here what they are. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of your human spirit through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Thank goodness he does. I couldn't have figured all this out without help. He's the one who, you know, we've been given an anointing to know all things. He said, "You have no need that any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things." That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you these things. So he says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So then these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you led of the spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now, this is the works. And I want to write the word works down, because the word works literally is an action word. The word works has to do with, if I'm working something, if I'm doing a work of some kind, it's something in motion. It's an action word. Working is action. Working is moving. Working is, you know, cleaning dishes. That's work. Doing dishes. I've done a lot of dishes this weekend. Mopping floors. That's work. I'm putting forth an effort. I'm actually moving molecules around with my body. And the works of the flesh are doing the same thing. They are literally action. You can't just do works of, you cannot do these works without you participating and being involved in it. And it's your flesh that does it. But see, this is a fleshly realm world. And this works is manifested. In other words, you can see it. It's something you can, it has to be worked, and it has to, and then it can be manifested. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. You can actually witness these things. These are works. And I want to stress the word works. Envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such likes, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why, God? Why can't we inherit the kingdom of God if we indulge in those works? Works. Because heaven is not about works. Heaven is not a place of works. I want you to see this. Heaven is not about works. Doing, doing, doing. And it's definitely not about selfish doing. It's something that's conceived. And it's brought. It doesn't talk about the works of the Spirit as much as it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, your spirit bears fruit. Your flesh does works. And they that do these kind of works of the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. That word inherit. See, heaven has got to be inherited. You cannot work in, cannot enter heaven through works. Heaven is an inherited place. through Jesus Christ. He left us a will after he cut the covenant. It is an inheritance by grace. Are you saved through faith, not of yourself? And I haven't talked too much about faith yet, but faith is a powerful part of the human spirit. It's not works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. You see, faith, that's how people live that live in the spirit. They live by faith. Faith is a fruit of the human spirit. Faith, love, joy, peace, that's a fruit. It's not a works. So he goes on, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, here's the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the works of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. As you meditate therein day and night, I promise you'll produce fruit. Prosperity, peace, good success will be the fruit of all your meditation and all your observing and all of the things that you're doing through the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit, your human spirit. It's like a total different way of life. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. And you'll know when you start producing fruit. Now, does fruit just pop up all of a sudden? Sometimes some plants I've planted have a greater gestation time or less or more. It depends on that on the seed. How long it takes for it to germinate and break down and die and go into the ground and produce the root. And things are going on. Let me tell you something about seeds. The Word of God is a seed in your heart that's planted. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they're life. And as you allow the spirit of, you do it. You observe and do, and you plant that seed, the Word. God said, I'm going to write it in your heart and your mind. And you've allowed Him to do that through the meditation of the Word. And He writes that Word. I don't care if it's one word. It's going to become fruit. A seed eventually will become fruit. It's not going to stay a seed just because, I mean, it's not a very good seed if you plant it and it never does anything. You've got to have fruit from that seed. I wouldn't plant a seed I couldn't produce something from it. Would you go take a horse to be bred and go to all the trouble if you didn't expect fruit? Mm-hmm. See, when I read this word and I meditate there and day and night, I expect fruit out of my human spirit. I expect to see the fruit produce. And I can't love my neighbor as myself if I don't love myself. But as you allow the Word of God to get deep into your heart, I'm doing my part, God. We just want God to zap us, and He just is not going to do that. It doesn't operate that way. I'm sharing with you how you develop and grow in the things of God and walk in the Spirit. You want to have prosperity? You want to have good success? This is how you do it. You meditate therein day and night. You learn to control your thought life. Praying it. See, the Holy Spirit will help you develop your human spirit. We grow spiritually through the help of the Holy Spirit. But he is not the fix-all. We got our part. I had to realize I got to do this. I got my job here. And the fruit is a production of this word. You will produce fruit. And this is the fruit. He tells you what the fruit is. The fruit of the Spirit, your human spirit, is supposed to be love, because you're still in the Word, right? You're meditating there and night. You got it in your mouth. This is this is what it'll produce. It'll produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Man, that was a hard one to get. That fruit isn't there in total fruition yet. I haven't got a big basket of long-suffering yet. You know, you need fruit in. I don't care if it's a fruit in healing, prosperity, whatever it is. God will give you the meditation, what to meditate and observe to do, and put it in your mouth. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Isn't that good? Living in the Spirit. There it is, clear as it can be. You're learning to live in your human spirit. You're living in it. You're living with God. The kingdom of heaven is in you. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you. Develop a giving heart. Develop the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, we seal this word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.